Hello.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
You have a question tonight?
No. But I thought I'd see if someone else does and maybe be able to tune in with something.
Well, that would be good. So we'll wait for someone else to come online.
Okay.
Do you know where we are with Parshat Pinchas and the Ari? Did we do all three or just two
of
the three?
I sent you the email. You didn't get the email?
No. Well, I haven't. No, I haven't. I've just finished looking at all my emails, so no, I didn't get one.
No, because this was the day after you asked me. I went through all of the ones that were left for the year. And I highlighted and put the date if we had covered it. So maybe it went to my spam box. I'll check. But let's see. Let me find. I have it separated. What's the
Did you do it as an attachment or did you write it in the email?
No, I sent it as an attachment. That's my email.
So why don't you just resend it?
Okay. But I'll do it as soon as we hang up. While we're waiting, I'll look to see if it's going to be in the spam. It could have gone to draft. Oh. I'll check. Well, it's not in my drafts folder, so let me check sent. Okay, I sent it last Tuesday. Teachings of the Ari. I'm not sure that's the one. Looking it up. Yes, I did. Okay, I have a note at the top that says the commentaries that have dates and are highlighted in color were those you taught. So any of the other names, titles that don't have a date and aren't highlighted in color, that means we haven't covered them.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll resend it. All right, let me see how I'm going to do that, I guess. How would I do that?
Well, you take your sets folder.
I guess I just forward. I could forward.
And then forward it to me.
Okay. Okay, let me try that. Okay, if this doesn't work, I'll save it to the desktop. I'm sure I have it saved, but I have so much going on these days. I don't remember if it's on the desktop or what, but it probably is. But anyway, let's see. Okay, it's sent. And while I have it up, I'm going to go ahead and open it up and save it to my desktop just to be sure that it doesn't.
Brandy.
Good evening, Brandy.
Good evening.
You have a question for tonight?
Yes, I do.
Come on.
Good. Why don't you go ahead and ask it?
Okay, my question is, when you die, how do you know what, is there a way to know what you'll come back as? Like, or will you know if you come back as a rock or a plant or an insect or an animal?
Well, for the majority of people, especially in our generation, as we're getting close to the time of the footsteps of Mashiach and Mashiach, people are coming back as people. So we're not dealing with coming back as an animal or an insect or whatever. But your question is, can you know what you're going to come back as? The answer is yes. But what's more important is not what you're going to come back as, is what mistakes you made in your last lifetime. And that comes from the reading of your north node, or your south node, the life lessons that you came into this world to learn, which is based on what your south node is in.
Okay.
And once you know what your last lifetime was, you know what to correct in this lifetime. And that's basically connected to your north node. So anything that you did not connect or correct in this lifetime, that what is related to your north node, where you basically know what you're supposed to correct, whatever you didn't correct is the way you're going to come back.
Okay. And how long do you wait before you come back?
It's instantaneous.
Okay, and
it can't be very lengthy, but in our generation, it's almost instantaneous because they're out of time.
And the reason I'm asking, we've had a lot of people from the synagogue lately that have passed away. But one person in particular that was one of my favorites passed away Monday. So by Tuesday, he's already back.
Correct.
In another family, in another place. And since he was Jewish this time, can he be Jewish? He was Jewish last time. Can he be Jewish this time again?
Yes.
But he might not come back as a him. He may come back as a her.
That is possible. But first off, when I say instantaneous, remember the physical world, there has to be a process of gestation. So if somebody passed yesterday, they they're going to enter a fetus that's at the 40th day of gestation. And then they're going to have to wait another roughly 7 months normally.
So it kind of gives them a rest period.
Not really. Because in those 7 months, he's learning all the Torah that he or she needs to complete and correct in this life, this current lifetime that he's coming into.
Oh. Well, he was a pretty learned Torah person in this life before he passed away. So he actually learns more?
The Torah that he was learning in this lifetime is revealing his tikkun. Did he study Kabbalah?
No.
So he'll come back needing to study Kabbalah.
Wow.
Well, I do have a positive thing to say about him, because for 8 years we didn't have a rabbi. And during that 8 years, we would go to Beaumont, to the synagogue there, as often as we could, which was pretty often. And he was always so welcoming to us, always.
Yeah, that's what I liked about him also. He was an avid reader. He read a lot of Jewish books. And then he would find one that was interesting and discuss it with me. Sometimes he'd give me the book, but he always seemed to give me a lot of articles, Jewish articles, either on the holidays or what's going on in other synagogues, and I really appreciated that. I'm gonna miss him.
How old a person was he?
I would say he was in his 90s, wasn't he? I think he was in his 90s. 80?
I took him to be about our age, but I'm not good with people's ages. But he was always healthy and strong. You know, he didn't seem to be incapacitated in any way physically.
No, but then in his last few years after his brother died, who was also very similar to him, his organs and stuff went down, and he was on dialysis, and he passed away Monday. So, gonna miss him.
You're also getting, you need to ask a question, because you made the statement that a lot of people in your synagogue have recently passed.
Right.
Martha.
But at elderly ages, too. You know.
They're like in their 90s. A lot of them are in their 90s.
Well, part of that is because of let me see how to verbalize this. If Bezrat Hashem, we have Mashiach coming tonight, and someone passed on Monday, today is Wednesday night, it was essentially the reason they passed, and the reason you're getting a lot of people passing, is because Hashem in His mercy is saying they don't have to experience the pain and suffering of the anti-Semitism that's going on now, the pain and suffering of all of the chaos of this current world, the footsteps of Mashiach, that they will reincarnate or they will be resurrected as part of the resurrection of the dead. So they don't have to go through the suffering involved in this world, so that it's very possible they completed their tikkun. Now, when I said he needed to study Kabbalah, he may have done that in an earlier life and that it wasn't necessary for him to be involved with it in this lifetime. But that's pretty unusual.
I'm glad
most of this generation needs to be studying Kabbalah.
He experienced a lot because he was in World War II, and a lot of the men in our synagogue, I know one of them for sure, he liberated the concentration camp. So we've had a lot of individuals, I don't know, I consider them righteous. But
everybody is righteous from moment to moment. The issue is, how do you remain righteous from moment to moment? Remember what it means to be righteous. You're doing the right action at the right time, at the right location, with the right kavanah. So how do you keep doing that right action at the next instant in that same location with the appropriate kavanah for the new action? Now, it's good to say, it's good to know, it's good to think that the person is righteous. And it's especially good after they pass to say it. That's why many people, when they go to the shivas, you know, you're telling good stories about the soul, because that's merciful to the soul who is traveling back and forth between the grave and the home, listening to the happy, wonderful, positive stories that are being told about them. Malka, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
Not necessarily on this subject, not on any subject.
I do have one. Can you remind me what are the days to have surgery? What are the best days to have surgery?
It's not recommended on Monday or Wednesday.
What if that's the only 2 days that they do surgeries?
Do you need the surgery? Is it an elective surgery, or is it a, you know, risking of life surgery? If you don't have it, is it risking your life? Or is it elective? I mean,
I know what you're talking about. If I don't have it, I won't be able to work.
And it's getting to where that doctors today have a certain day of surgery. You don't have a choice.
Right. I won't be able to use my hand if I don't.
I understand. So if you need to have that in order to have full capacity of your hand and to be able to work properly, but is that the only doctor that you can get? Can you get a doctor just as efficient who will work on a different day?
No, not in my area. No, he's actually the specialist.
So when, if of the 2 days, if you had to have it, I would recommend Wednesday rather than Monday.
Okay. Wednesday morning, the morning, not evening?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Wednesday evening is Thursday.
Right.
So are you saying you can do it Wednesday evening? Then you should do it Wednesday evening.
Okay. I don't think so. I think it's going to be a morning, but I will certainly ask.
Wouldn't it have to be Wednesday after sundown to be Thursday?
Yes.
Right.
They probably won't
do it after. No,
it wouldn't be an emergency, so they wouldn't.
Right.
Or you might have to explain, like I did yesterday, about why I couldn't have a little minor surgery all during the 3 weeks. And,
right.
You know, they've never heard of that before. And when I finished, I said, "Now this isn't superstition." And the nurse said, "I don't question anybody's belief." And I said, "Well, good." And then
yeah,
they changed my physical date, because they had actually given me September the 2nd, which they realized was Labor Day. And it took 8 days for them to call me to give me another date. And today when she called me, the 3 days were all Rosh Hashanah, Fast a Good Day. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, the holidays.
Nope.
Yeah, the holidays are coming up.
You know, so I said, I told her when I could come, and then I said, I'll just talk to the doctor next year, and we'll just rearrange my 6 month checkups to January and June, because this happens every July. You know, they call and cancel either because the doctors decided to go on vacation that week, or, you know, something.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they have children, they're trying to have a vacation before school starts.
Right.
So anyway, I had two times this week that I had to explain either the 3 weeks or the Jewish holidays.
Anybody have any other questions?
Well, I thought of something as we were checking out the receptionist that helped me, gave me a date of the next test I have to have. Her name was Santana. And I thought it was an unusual name, but I just kind of passed it over today. That name kept coming to me. And I realize it has the consonants of Satan. And I'm just right now pondering, okay, why, you know, what was the purpose of my knowing her, learning her name, and why does it keep coming back to me today? That was the first time I've ever seen her.
Real question is asked, how she was named.
Well, she told me that it was, she didn't tell me. Tony was the one that commented on her name. And, you know, so it was very unusual. He had never heard the name before. And she said it was some TV program, and that was a character in a TV program. And her mother liked the name, and so she got it. Gave it to her. And I really didn't think anything of that. I didn't even think about it or anything until today. The name keeps popping in my head. And I don't quite know what to do about it. I'm sure it'll, I'll get the answer somewhere along the way, but I thought maybe you might have some.
I don't, nothing comes to mind other than really nothing is coming to mind. Maybe mm-hmm. You'd have to see how to spell it, because you wouldn't spell it with a, you know, a shin tet.
With a shin. Right.
You could spell it with the stomach.
And a tet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it would end with a hay. Even, you know, it has the sound.
Well, as a female name, it would end with a hay.
Mm-hmm. I'll do a gematria on the name, and I'll that may give me a clue.
Definitely. Any other questions?
I have a question. This goes back several classes prior. We were talking about the name that we spelled SML, and that was with the ones that are over the guardian angels, like Gabriel,
so forth, Mikhail.
Yeah. Yeah, what was the name of that prior
Memtet.
Soul? Memtet. I was reading something today or yesterday, I can't remember when, and I was reading about how Hashem went to the nations to see if they want to receive the Torah. And,
right.
Of course, he went to the ministers of the nations, and the minister of Esau was Semel. So is that the same as Mentet?
No.
And then, I was like, wait a minute, we've discussed.
The minister of Esau is Samach Mem.
Samach Mem, okay. I was trying to say, I was like in my mind, whoa, wait, I need to back up a couple of weeks prior. I'm like, wait a minute. We talked about, you know, that same situation. And I'm like, and then the minister of Ishmael was Rahav. Is that correct? Rahav.
Yeah, I think you're mispronouncing it, but. I don't remember the name of the minister in Persia.
And then
well, I was talking about it, but it was spelled like Rahab, you know, the
Rahab.
Female. Well, it was spelled like that because I remember looking at it and looking at it twice. Not, you know, even for editing purposes, you know, that's kind of what my eye is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Rahav. And
yes, that's correct.
I had never heard of another character with that same name other than Rahab, who married Caleb.
Right.
I think she married Caleb. Oh, gosh.
Actually, she married Joshua.
She married Joshua?
Was
one of
the... Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was the madam that saved Caleb and,
right.
And who was the other one. And she converted and she ended up marrying
Joshua.
Zuliger, I'm trying to remember. It was Joshua.
Okay.
Yehoshua.
And was Caleb there at Samaria?
Say again?
I said, did Caleb marry Miriam?
Yes, Caleb married Miriam.
Okay.
Miriam as in Moses' sister?
Yes.
Okay. Talking about names, I also read the Porsha about the gentleman's name where the three daughters inherited the land because he only had daughters and no son, and he was the man that was described as the one that was gathering the wood on Sabbath, and he died. He left.
And I was
talking about what his name meant, and it had to do something with the caper bush, you know, the capers that you eat, capers.
Yes.
And then I continued to read, and it described him, that's what his name meant. And then this caper bush grew up in a fence that was broken, and I forget the Jewish guy that is reincarnated in him. And ended up being that caper bush grew up in the fence because he wanted to go fix the fence, and it was Sabbath, and he restrained himself by not going to fix his fence. And this caper bush grew up, and it's real thorny and thick, and, you know, it's like a protection. So he ended up not having to repair his fence. And he actually rectified, what was the gentleman's name that was called the gathering of the wood in the wilderness? I forget his name again.
That's the way I do.
Zelophehad.
You pronounce it differently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that he ended up rectified the sin. So getting to all of this, and my thought went to your name pretty much either it defines the sin you did, your name, and, you know, God, you know, he gives us our names. And I'm thinking, is that how that's connected? Your name will determine the sin and or the tikkun you need to do. Because names are important. So I'm thinking, wow, then we should actually really dig into of course, we don't really know our Hebrew name, you know, the name that was given to us at the time that the soul was put into the body, but the name that we have.
Yes, you do. If you don't remember it, you can, there are meditations that will help you discover it.
Okay, so if you do know that, then that's either your sin that you're going to commit and or your tikkun that you have to rectify. By reading that Parsha on the bush, the caper bush, and how it came to be, and how this guy resisted to not fix his fence, and he left the caper bush there, and rectifying the gentleman's, you know, sin for him. I thought, wow, what a revelation that is to me. Anyway, for me, it was.
It's a revelation. It's an amazing, it's awe-inspiring to everyone. And if you want to know how to utilize your name, how to utilize your name, you need to take a look at what I do with each year's name, how I permutate all possibilities of the letters and what the Hebrew words that come from those permutations are. And the way those words, those names are translated, as you have possibilities, doesn't mean you're going to sin, but it could be that you have a propensity to have that personality or character trait And so you have a propensity to sin, but you, through binding by striking and through changing yourself, right, you can avoid all of them.
Right.
Which
right.
is what... So it's everything is in between your birth date, location, and your name in Hebrew letters. Everything is known about you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that everything is known exactly. It means that you have, this is the propensity to the character traits that you have. In the Sefer Yetzirah, we discuss this in based on astrology and sun signs and moon signs. Certain sun signs have a propensity to do certain positive actions and certain negative actions. And when you add the name possibilities to that same discussion, things become very clear.
Yeah, that was really an eye-opening for me. That really put, that made me sit back and really examine what those, that Portia had to say. It was really astonishing.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get, you know, find the funds over the years to put into the gematria system that we will automate and put on the Yeshem website, so that you could put in your name. In English, we would transform it to Hebrew letters and then give you all the permutations of those letters. And then that would become the, you know, the translations of those character traits. And you could then determine for yourself, you know, these are the traits that I have a propensity to go forward with. And the ones I want to change, the ones that I don't do, you know. Because your name, there's always a discussion of the, is it birth or nurture? Is it DNA or is it nurture that causes people to become who and what they become? So it's the same thing with your name. You have a propensity to do these various traits. Doesn't mean you'll do them. But if you have a propensity to, God forbid, be a murderer, but you can change that. The perfect example is certain names have a propensity to commit, to deal with blood. So, God forbid, you become a murderer, or you can change that and become a moil. You're still dealing with blood. And that's some of the sages have written along those lines.
I'm just going to have to live for 300 years. I have so much to do. So much to learn.
Always remember, it's more than 300 years.
Oh, it is? 1,000?
1,000 is the maximum capacity. I'm going to be living more than 300 years. And you have to stick around to prove me right. Which means you're going to be living a lot longer than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
That's all we have to work on, our DNA change, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Malka, I want you to remember, I gave every student the meanings of their names, how to spell it in Hebrew, what we all got a Hebrew name in class.
Right.
And your birth date, the Hebrew birth date, and I tried to get it as close as, you know, if you could tell me the time, you were born, what was your Torah portion, what was your Haftarah portion. Those were all the beginning steps, as well as the meaning to the Hebrew name that you were given in class. And remember, I gave you Malka, but I also gave you Ruth.
Right.
Now, why did I give you Ruth? You think about that.
Okay.
To me, it was going to be a prophetic future for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Ruth was only, the seven laws of Noah was what she was under. But when she converted, she came under the 613. She came under the yoke of the 613. All of the commandments. Okay. And then I gave y'all an example of my name, my given name, Barbara, Jean, Abel, and how it was prophetic of my past. But I guess y'all don't remember those things. Maybe, the first time I get the students, they're hearing things for the first time. And, it seeds that fall on hard soil right at first, and so it takes hearing it again and hearing it again,
So
you're hearing it again.
We were so excited to be in the class, and then, there was a lot to learn, and you don't absorb it right at first, and I still have all that. I'll have to go pull it back out and read, back through it.
I also gave y'all several handouts on names. In general, nothing that came from Hanok's notes, but things that I had learned over the years about names, because that was how I got started with Hebrew, was I kept looking up names. And then I've also learned that from time to time you find new meanings of your name. Maybe it'll be on a pen or you'll see it in a magazine or something, After I got into Hanok's class, I'd always, before that time, thought Hana meant favor, grace, But then he brought in hidden wisdom, and there was the Zohar, So it's like everything else. You get it in bits and pieces, and then, Hanok, what is your handout? How to Find Your Tikkun, I believe? Where you list all the different things, the day you were born, what day of the week, and it's just so much. Your parents' names, your grandparents' names, your all the addresses that you've lived at. That one was fascinating for me. I had to go drive, and where I was born, I remembered the address where my mother and daddy told me where I was born. And then, one house, they changed the name of the street. And just over the houses, Tony and I have lived in five different houses since we've been married. So looking up the names and what they meant, and then also the number of the house number, had some meaning. And when Tony was in the hospital and almost died, and the gematria of his room came to 10. You don't think that didn't bless me? I can think of as a 10. 10 Sephiroth was following us around. So it's a learning process.
Right.
That is.
And I remember the last thing. I remember the last thing she told me when class was over. What are we going to do? No class anymore.
Yeah. I was very sad that day.
And where did you end up? Okay. So that's good. Now we got a rope about 10 more. I'm working on about three of them right now, but it takes time. You know, it takes time.
Right.
So, okay, I've said all I'm going to say.
I'm going to use it as a learning moment, because it reinforces the idea that without a question, there's no vessel for the information.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're first learning and you get this information and there's so much there and you don't know what to do first, it just is overwhelming. It's not the appropriate way to process. We both do it. We all do it. Every teacher does it. Because you're not sure where the person is at, or, you know, but it just reinforces the idea that you give people the information when there's a question, because that's the vessel to reveal the information. But when there's no question, the information can't be held, can't be handled properly. Now, you got the information, but it's not meaningful to you, and then a year later, 5 years later, the question comes, and you already have the information to reveal the answer to that question, and then it all falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
So it reinforces it all.
I had a learning experience that really came from our class that I guess it was another level. I had a friend that was going on a cruise this month. In fact, she just got back 2 days ago. And I told her I would pray for her safety and all those on the cruise for a safe trip. And then last week, there was the story on TV about the little 2-year-old, I believe, or 18-month-old toddler, anyway, that fell from one level of a cruise and died. And I thought to myself, I didn't pray. I didn't make a vessel for the light. It was still a selfish prayer, because I could have gone further and included all cruises. And so it was, you know, it saddened me at first, but it was a learning experience that even another level with what we were taught, you know, from your classes, to extend that vessel more.
Exactly. Build the vessel as broadly as possible. It's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah.
You all have a good evening.
Okay,
shalom.
You too.
Shalom to
okay.
all.
Shalom.
Okay. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.